Great. Well, please do keep that passage open in front of you. Thank you again for your welcome. It's lovely to be with you this evening. And greetings from the whole of Duke Street Church to all of you. Sometimes it's just too much. And about 5 years ago, I had a time like that. Something was happening in church life rather than family life for once. You don't need to know the details, but it all got quite heavy. And it was weighing me down. So I did the obvious thing. I went for a walk around the cemetery. That's probably what you do as well, isn't it? Happily, I used to live not too far away from the second biggest cemetery in Europe. And I just wanted to spend some time walking, praying, breathing. Well, while I was there, a funeral was happening. It was the funeral of a Muslim. A faith which does not believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Someone who, therefore, is eternally lost now. And as I walked on, I came to a Zoroastrian part of the cemetery. That's an ancient Persian religion, but they don't believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's a corner of that cemetery now populated by those who are lost for eternity. And then as I walked, I met a monk. I met the same monk in the same cemetery about 16 years before. He would say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but he's also trying to contribute to his own salvation. He's trying to achieve salvation by a mixture of faith and works, which doesn't work. He's very old now, and if he dies as he currently is, then he too is facing a lost eternity. And I walked and walked that cemetery. 235,000 people are buried there. Some of them, no doubt, followed Jesus as Savior and Lord. Most of them, I imagine, didn't. And those who didn't are eternally lost. And the realization of that came to me as a short, sharp shock. It reorganized my perspective. And though this may sound a bit weird, it gave me comfort. It made me realize that my problem in church life was not the biggest problem in the world. The biggest problem in the world actually is that people are facing a lost eternity and need to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. And God's grace renewed my spirit through that realization. I went away from that cemetery refreshed in my determination to serve the kingdom of Christ. If I'm honest, I could have lived that out more consistently since then. But it was a revitalization I really needed at the time. And maybe you've known times where it's just too much. Times of tragedy, times of exhaustion, times of suffering, times of discouragement, times of friction, times of regret, times where you've just been worn down by it all. But then suddenly God's grace is ministered to you out of nowhere, perhaps through a Bible verse or a sermon or a friend's encouragement or a cemetery. God has comforted you and your spirit has revived. I want to speak about how God meets us in our sufferings this evening. And our main focus is going to be verse 5 from the passage which Tim read. Verse 5, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. Sometimes the sufferings of Christ, they overflow into our lives, but at one and the same time, comfort overflows into our lives through Christ as well." So that's our theme. We're going to think firstly about the fact that when the Lord calls us to enter into overflowing suffering, he also gives us that overflowing comfort. And then we're going to look at three areas of fruitfulness which flow from that. So first of all, overflowing suffering, overflowing comfort. So look at verse 5 again. Notice that Paul is speaking from personal experience. And here's what he writes. This is a literal translation. "For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." So Paul's experience is that suffering overflows, but so does comfort. And Paul did suffer, didn't he? A bit later on in the letter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he tells the Corinthians some of the things which he suffered, and it's an absolutely horrendous list. I'm not going to read it now, but he suffered one thing after another. Sometimes persecution, sometimes accidents, always the attrition of having to work so hard, always the pressure of caring so passionately about the spiritual vitality of those who'd come to know Christ through him. It was constant suffering. The sufferings of Christ overflowed to him. Just as Christ suffered in different ways in his life, so the Apostle Paul suffered. But thankfully, that's only half his experience. The sufferings of Christ overflowed to him, but comfort overflowed to him as well. And as you read 2 Corinthians, you find that that comfort came in two different ways. Sometimes God delivered him from his situations of suffering. And there's a good example of that in our passage as you come to verses 8 to 10. Paul talks about getting into a really perilous situation, but, he says in verse 10, God delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. As an example of God delivering him from his situation of suffering. But sometimes that comfort came in a different way. Sometimes God delivered him in his situations of suffering. He didn't deliver him from them, but he delivered him in them. And 2 Corinthians 12 is a brilliant example of that. Paul suffers from what he describes as a thorn in the flesh. Don't know what that was, but it was clearly something painful, something troubling, something which made him weak, something he suffered. And he tells us in that chapter that he prayed repeatedly that the Lord would take it away from him. And he didn't. But what he did do was pour grace into Paul's suffering. He says this to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, famous words, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And those words of encouragement were enough to give comfort to Paul. They caused him actually to boast about his weaknesses. So God gave him comfort not by delivering him from his suffering, but by giving him grace to keep going despite his suffering. So the sufferings of Christ, they flowed over into Paul's life, but at one and the same time, comfort flowed over into his life too. And that comfort came in two ways. Sometimes God delivered him from his sufferings. Sometimes he delivered him in his sufferings, giving him grace to keep going despite the hardship. We're looking at verse 5. "For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." And there's a couple of words I've glossed over so far. The words "through Christ." What do they add? Well, Paul is saying that comfort overflows into his life when suffering overflows, but that comfort, it too comes through Christ. It's mediated through the Lord Jesus Christ. Being united with Christ means that he suffers, and being united with Christ means that he's comforted. It's another reminder that every blessing we have as Christians comes because we are joined to Jesus Christ. Every blessing is channeled through him. Praise his name for that. So, that was Paul's experience. And actually, it's every Christian's experience too. We suffer, don't we? We don't always suffer what Paul suffered, and not many of us have suffered as much as he did. But if we are going to be faithful to Jesus, we will suffer. The sufferings of Christ will overflow into our lives. What might that look like? Well, it might look like any of those sufferings which are common to men and women and young people. Jesus suffered those sorts of things by virtue of being a human being. But in particular, it might mean one of those sufferings which come because we are faithful to him. Perhaps loneliness, friends turning against you. Perhaps putting in long, long hours serving the Lord. Perhaps unfair things being said to you or your family. Perhaps guilt over times where you haven't done things well. Maybe opposition from non-Christians. And that's just some of it. If you're going to be faithful to Christ, you will suffer. The sufferings of Christ will overflow into your life. But for us too, that is only half the story. Because through Christ, comfort overflows into our lives as well. As with Paul, sometimes he decides to deliver us from our sufferings. And sometimes he pours in his grace so that we can keep going despite our sufferings. And you can probably think of examples of both, can't you? You can think of disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, servants of Christ, who've been comforted by being spectacularly delivered from horrendous circumstances, can't you? I wonder if you've come across the writings of Helen Roosevelt. She was a missionary in Congo from the 1950s to the 1970s. In 1964, there was an uprising there, usually known as the Simba Rebellion, where rebels moved against the government. Well, one day, Helen Roosevelt was there at the time, and her van was commandeered by 17 rebel soldiers. They forced her and two others to drive them to a town 70 miles away. During a pause in the journey, she deliberately sabotaged the van so that they'd get held up, but her plan didn't really work out, and she got found out. And so the rebel soldiers, they took her and her two friends, they stood her and them in front of the van, they put the headlamps on her, on them, they got their weapons, and those 17 men charged at them to cut them down. And as they did, God stepped in. They were just suddenly checked, suddenly frozen, suddenly unable to move. And then just as suddenly, they were released from that paralyzing power and they wandered off, forgetting what they were doing. And sometimes God will do things like that. He'll comfort us in our suffering by delivering us from it. He is just as able to deliver us from our sufferings as he ever was. So if you're suffering, well, pray that he will deliver you. And pray with confidence that if it's his will, he is well able to do it. Sometimes he delivers us from our suffering. But actually, more often, that is not his way. And instead, he chooses to use that other means of bringing comfort. And he chooses to pour his grace into our lives to keep us going despite our sufferings. He delivers us in our suffering. And so, in all the loneliness, the ostracism, the hard work, the guilt, the dread, the pressure, the danger, the pain, the loss, the whatever, he just meets you and he refreshes you and he keeps you going and he comforts you. Sometimes you can't even explain it, but it happens. It's a kind of overflowing comfort that surpasses understanding. And God is just as able to comfort us in our sufferings in that way as he ever was. He is right there in our suffering. And we can pray for his comfort with total confidence that he will give it to us. That is the testimony of thousands and thousands of Christians over the millennia. Yes, suffering overflows, but comfort overflows too. And through whom? Through Christ. Just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ, our comfort overflows. That overflowing comfort comes through him. Praise his name. Well, that's overflowing suffering, overflowing comfort. The second thing I want us to look at is three areas of fruitfulness which overflowing suffering and overflowing comfort can produce in us. I'm sorry, that sounds like a really Puritan heading, doesn't it? That's like something you'd read in a Puritan paperback, but that's kind of where we're going. We've looked at verse 5. Now we're going to look at the verses either side of verse 5. Comfort is absolutely the theme of verses 3 to 7. You get the word 10 times in those 5 verses. And the Apostle Paul, he talks about 3 areas of fruitfulness which overflowing suffering and overflowing comfort can produce in us. Paul tells us 3 things which give us purpose in our sufferings. And here's the first. It helps us to know God. It helps us to know God. Look at verse 3 this time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comforts. Now just look at how Paul describes God there. He calls him the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ first, showing his relationship with our Lord. But then he describes him in 2 ways. First, he calls him the Father of mercies, or the Father of compassion. God, says Paul, is characterized by mercy. He's characterized by compassion. He is the Father of compassion. Now, what is compassion? Well, I don't know a better illustration of it than Luke chapter 7. Luke 7 tells us about a time when Jesus visits a place called Nain. And as he arrives at the town gate, he sees a funeral procession taking place. And he sees one tragic figure at the center of all the mourning. It's a woman. It's her son who's died, her only son. What is more, her husband has died too. She's desolate. And what do we read in Luke chapter 7, verse 13? When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Jesus' heart goes out to this woman in her misery, and he takes the initiative and he speaks kind words to her, and he also raises her son from the dead. God, says Paul, he's like that. He's the Father of mercies. He's the Father of compassion. He is characterized by compassion. There is sympathy there for us in all our troubles and our afflictions and our griefs. He cares. He's the Father of compassion, the Father of mercies. But there's a second way in which Paul describes God in verse 3 as well. He is also the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. That means this. It means that he is the God who has a limitless capacity to comfort. It means that he is the God whose very nature is to comfort. It means that he is the God who can give comfort of every kind. He is the God not just of comfort, but the God of all comfort. Now, I don't know if you've ever been ravaged by sorrow. I don't know if you've ever sat there racked with misery, weeping uncontrollably. But then a friend has come alongside you, and she's put an arm around you, and she's comforted you. It doesn't take the sadness away, of course, does it? But it just helps to know that someone is there with you, that someone is with you in your suffering. Well, God, he has this unseen arm which is always around our shoulders. He may not choose to take our suffering away, but he always has that invisible arm around us. He relieves the pressure of the affliction within us. He gives spiritual refreshment when we need that. He is the God of all comfort. He cares. Listen to verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And the question I want to ask is this. Why does Paul praise God in these terms? Here's the answer. It's because he has suffered and he has experienced God as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's experienced him in that way. In other words, Paul has come to know God better through his suffering. He's come to appreciate God's character in new and fresh and glorious ways. If he'd never suffered, he wouldn't have needed to experience God's compassion and comfort in this way. But because he has suffered, and because he's met God as the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, he's come to know him better. And that is just what we can expect in our sufferings. When we suffer, we can expect to get to know God better. We can expect to experience him as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He was that in Paul's day, and he is that today, and he will be that through the whole of eternity when we will experience his compassion and his comfort to the absolute full. Suffering, it's grim, but it helps us to know God better. If you doubt that, just speak to a Christian who's gone through significant suffering. Suffering helps us to know God better. You know, that there is nothing in this life which compares to knowing God and getting to know him better. But I don't want to assume that you all know him. Maybe you are not one of his people here tonight. Well, if you're not, please know that Jesus Christ is still bringing people to God today. He died on the cross and he rose again to save people just like you and me, people who've done things wrong. And when we turn to him from our sin, when we put our faith in him, he saves us and he brings us to God. From that moment, we start to know God, and that is the biggest privilege there is. So if that's not you just now, please see, nothing compares to knowing the Lord and come to Jesus in repentance and faith. Suffering helps us to know God better. But there's a second purpose behind suffering, which Paul shares with us here as well. It helps us to help others. It helps us to help others. So look at verse 4. God comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So what is Paul saying? Well, he's saying something like this. We've experienced God. He's comforted us in all our troubles. And what is the result of that? It means that, now I'm quoting him, we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Paul is saying that when we have suffered and when we have been comforted by God, we can then comfort others who are suffering too. Now, I can think of loads of examples of the truth of that, but let me just tell you about one. I can think of a man who received a Parkinson's diagnosis when he was still in his 40s. And as the disease has progressed, well, his life has become more difficult, more painful, the anxiety that often goes with Parkinson's has increased. He absolutely loves 2 Corinthians chapter 1 because it's so meaningful to him in his suffering. And he's definitely come to know God better through his Parkinson's, though he would never have chosen that route. But that man, he is just the best at understanding people in their suffering and at offering practical and biblical help to them. I always used to be amazed when I visited him and he'd tell me how many people he'd rung up to encourage. And those people really were encouraged. He was able to comfort them with the comfort he had received himself. He knows what suffering is like, and he's able to offer the comfort he's received from God. So listen to verse 4 again. God comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. It's as though Paul is saying this, you're suffering, but I know that God can give you strength and reassurance in your suffering because he's given me strength and reassurance in mine. And that's spot on. Let me ask you, are you a Christian who has suffered? Are you a Christian who is suffering? Well, if so, here's one purpose God has in your suffering. He's working in you so that you can help others in the future. Your personal sufferings are God's preparation for deeper ministry in the days to come. They're his classroom to school you in how to support those who go through times of affliction. And God never wastes his lessons. He knows exactly how he will use what he is teaching you in your pain. You see, typically, who better to comfort someone who's been bereaved than someone who's been bereaved? Who better to comfort someone who's lost her job than someone who knows what it is to lose her job? Who better to comfort someone who's depressed than someone who knows what it is to go through a time of depression? There's this genuine ring about the comfort offered by someone who's suffered. Please don't let that put you off comforting others if you haven't been through stuff yourself. But if you have, do you see what a gift of God's grace you might be to someone who's really going through it? Because suffering, it helps us to help others. And there's one last purpose behind suffering, which Paul shares with us here as well. Thirdly, it helps us to develop stickability. It helps us to develop stickability. Suffering and being comfort help us to persevere. And we can see that in verses 6 and 7. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we endure. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that as you share in the sufferings, so you also will share in the comfort. What's Paul saying? But he starts off by showing that both his distress and his comfort count for the Corinthians' good. And then he goes on to speak about how the Corinthians' suffering and being comforted produces patient endurance in them. As a result, Paul has a firm hope for them. He expects them to last the course. He expects them to remain faithful to God. Or to put it as simply as I can, the Corinthians' sufferings and receiving comfort, they produce stickability. They produce endurance. They produce perseverance. So here's the lesson for us. Suffering and receiving God's comfort, that helps us to develop stickability. It helps us to stand firm. It helps us to be tough Christians. It helps us to be those Christians who will not turn back when things get hard again. And things will get hard again. Sometimes wave after wave of trouble breaks upon God's people. I know a young couple who went out as missionaries a few years ago, and they were called to suffer right from the start. Now, almost as soon as they arrived, there was a fire in the house where they were staying. They just about recovered from that when the place got flooded. They'd been told they could never have children, but then to their joy, the wife became pregnant, only to suffer a miscarriage. And then she needed an operation for an internal adhesion, which caused her agony, which wasn't successful and had to be repeated. And then her sister was diagnosed with cancer. And then her father was diagnosed with cancer. And then they were forced home by matters completely outside their control. Sometimes wave after wave of trouble really does break upon God's people. But when we suffer and when we experience God's comfort in it, it does develop stickability in us. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Now, there's this chain which has suffering at the hard end of it, but suffering produces endurance, stickability, and stickability produces character. Settled, tested Christian character. And settled Christian character produces hope, a great expectancy of arriving in heaven. And that's good because it snaps our attention away from the present age with all of its misery, and it orientates us around the bliss of the age to come. Suffering and receiving God's comfort helps Christians to grow in stickability. It helps us to endure other hardships in the future. It helps us to endure future afflictions, because they will come. And at the end of it all, there comes the greatest trial of all, death itself. So if you're suffering as a Christian here tonight, do you see what God is doing with your suffering? He's using it and the comfort which he gives you to mold you, to shape you, to sculpt you into the person he wants you to be. He's making you more like Jesus Christ, who endured the worst affliction to the end for the sake of his people. He's developing stickability in you. And those are three areas of fruitfulness which overflowing suffering and overflowing comfort will produce in us. Well, look, let me draw all of this together. Suffering overflows into our lives, but comfort overflows into our lives at the same time. God comforts us sometimes by delivering us from our situations. More often, he comforts us by pouring grace into our lives to keep us going despite our difficulties. And all of that is good for us. Through that process of suffering, through that process of receiving comfort, God helps us to know him better. We appreciate him in fresh ways. He makes us more able to help others, to come alongside others in their suffering and to support them. And he develops stickability in us. And that, servants of Jesus Christ, is what God is ready to do through your sufferings. Let's pray. Our Lord God, our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your great kindness to us. Thank you that you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Thank you that you are so ready to comfort us, whatever our situations of suffering might be. Thank you that when we suffer, we do get to know you better. And you do equip us to help others. And you do help us to be persevering, enduring Christians as we experience your help and your comfort and your strength. And so, Lord, we pray for each other. Lord, for any here who are suffering at the moment, please meet with them just where they are and give them the comfort they need. And if we're not suffering just at the moment, please help us to be ready for the times when those sufferings do come. And when they do, help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, knowing that he's ready to give us the help we need. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the practical instruction it gives us. And please, Lord, help us to hide it in our hearts and to live it out for the glory of Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen.